And in Psalms 118 and verse 24, the psalmist writer says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We should rejoice and be glad in it." It's a beautiful day outside. It's the Lord's day. We should be thankful that we're here, and appreciate Brother Harold for leading the songs. We're told to teach and admonish one another in songs, and certainly we've done that today. I'd like to say this before I get started, before any lesson. I invite you to follow along in your Bibles to see that the things I'm speaking of tonight are not the words of Zach or some other man, but they are the inspired word of God, as we read in 2 Peter 3 at verse 16, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, in all righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Try to follow along. Sometimes I get going kind of fast, but if you can't follow along, write them down and read for yourself the things that the Bible has to say. You can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14 will be where our text is coming from this evening. Jesus said in verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Jesus shows here in these verses that there is a way that leads to life and a way that leads to destruction. He shows that the way to destruction is broad and many will enter that way. He also shows that there is a narrow way and few who will find that way, and that way leads to life. He gives us two illustrations. He gives an illustration of a gate and a road. One gate and road is narrow. It is difficult and it is entered by few, and that leads to life. The other gate and road is broad. It is wide. It's entered by many, and that way leads to destruction. In this lesson, I want to concentrate on the expression, "and there are a few who find it." Well, tonight, why do only a few find the narrow way? First of all, few find the narrow way because the way is strict, the way is rigorous, and the way is difficult. The word "straight," as used in the King James Version — I'm using the New King James Version tonight — is not the word "straight," which means without curves, crooks, or bends. It is spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, which means nearly the same as the word "narrow." And it means being narrow, restricted, or hemmed in. The King James Version and American Standard Version uses these two words kind of interchangeably. And the King James Version says "straight is the gate and narrow is the way," whereas the American Standard Version says "narrow is the gate and straitened is the way." And as we just read in the New King James, that "narrow is the gate and difficult is the way." Nevertheless, our Lord's use of words show that the way to life is hard and it is difficult. Many people do not enter the narrow way because of the difficulty involved. Many people are not up to the task of this difficult task that's laid before us. Being a Christian is the most challenging task ever laid before anyone. It takes all that one has and all that one is to be a faithful Christian. Matthew chapter 22 at verse 37. It takes one's whole being. Matthew 22 at verse 37 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. You know, most people avoid a difficult task. And over here in Exodus is an example of Moses trying to avoid such a thing. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, "Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Moses is saying here that the people will not believe or hear him. On down, God worked two miracles and said in verse 8 that if they will not hearken to the first sign, they will believe when they see the second. In verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Moses is trying to make an excuse as to why he could not speak. Let's notice God's answer in verse 11. "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seen, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" Verse 12. "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." Well, as we know, Moses accepted God's challenge and went on to be a great leader. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, and it's chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. There are many examples in the scriptures of those who courageously accepted difficult challenges. Hebrews 11, starting at verse 8, says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. Verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham left the Ur of Chaldees, not knowing where God was leading him, not knowing where God was sending him, yet he looked for a city which hath foundations. And then in verse 7, back in verse 7, Noah was not one who avoided a difficult task. Verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. And over in Joshua chapter 2, Rahab hid the Israelite spies from the king of Jericho because she had faith in the one true God. With these examples, we need to determine tonight that though living the Christian life is going to be difficult, living this life is going to be hard, we will be up to the task. Luke 9 and verse 23, Jesus said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and come, follow me. And when things get difficult and things get hard, we need to continually remind ourselves of the reward that we will have. In Romans 8 at verse 18, says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And in 2 Corinthians 4 at verse 17, 2 Corinthians 4 at verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Many people do not find the narrow way because of the difficulty. We need to be up to the task this evening. Another reason many people do not find the narrow way is because of prejudice. Prejudice is forming an opinion or holding to something true without examining the facts. Over in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Isaiah the prophet condemned this frame of mind. Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, it says, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and seek ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. These people see and hear, but they don't want to believe the truth that they hear. In Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, this was quoted by Jesus and applied to the people of his time. Verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 13. It says, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. They were blinded to the truth because of their preconceived ideas of what was truth. They were looking for the Messiah to come and reign upon the literal throne of David and return the kingdom to his former power and glory. Well, in Luke chapter 17, Luke 17 verses 20 and 21, Jesus tried to teach them that the kingdom would be a spiritual one. Luke 17 at verse 20 says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. And when Jesus did not fit into their preconceived ideas, and when he began to expose their wickedness, they hated him, and they were set out to destroy him. But prejudice did not die with the scribes and Pharisees. Many today have their preconceived ideas of what the truth is, on how the religion of Christ should be. For example, Jesus said in verse 14, because straight is the way. However, many proclaim that broad is the way, and many will go in that way. They say we are all going to the same place, but by different ways. And they say to the Church of Christ that if your teaching is right, look at how many people you are saying are going to be lost. They have preconceived ideas that most all religious people, all good moral people, will be saved. In 2 Corinthians 13 at verse 5, you can turn there. 2 Corinthians 13 at verse 5. We need to put away prejudice and simply go back to the Scriptures with open minds in order to learn what God wants of us. 2 Corinthians 13 at verse 5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? And in 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Another reason many do not find the way that leads to life is because of deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there are many false prophets that are out in the world disguised as preachers of the gospel. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 13, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, but there were also false prophets among you, even as there will be false among the people, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 again, where our text is from. I think it's significant that after our text there, where he's talking about the narrow way, Jesus goes on to say in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 20, therefore by their fruits you will know them. Many well-known denominational preachers claim that there are many ways to heaven. Billy Graham, we've all heard of Billy Graham. Billy Graham once said, there are many right ways to heaven, but only one wrong way. But I believe the scriptures teach different. The opposite is true. There are many wrong ways, but there is only one right way to heaven. We need to remember that although some will be deceived, no one will be excused. The scriptures repeatedly warn us against false teachers. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. It says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. And in Colossians 2 at verse 18, says, let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. We are to know them by their fruits, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. We need to know them by what they do. And you know, the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, they showed us the right way to make sure that they're being taught the truth. In Acts chapter 17 at verse 11, it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the scriptures daily to find out that the things were being taught were so. And also in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John exhorts us, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. False prophets will be among us, and we need not to be deceived. Another reason many do not find the narrow way is because they give in to peer pressure. Many give in to the pressures of family, friends, associates, religious leaders, or anyone else for that matter. Turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We'll start at verse 18. The parents here of the man who was born blind failed to confess Jesus because they feared their religious leaders. In John 9, starting at verse 18, says, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. Verse 22. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. It wasn't because they did not know. They had the strong, open testimony from their own son. But because of the pressures of men, they did not take an advantage to confess our Lord. In John chapter 12, many of the rulers believed on Jesus, but did not confess him because they wanted the admiration of their fellow man. John chapter 12, starting at verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. For one to be of the narrow way, he cannot allow anyone to discourage, pressure, or in any way hinder him from finding and entering that narrow way. Matthew chapter 10 at verse 37. Tonight we cannot submit to the wishes of anyone but God. Matthew 10:37 says, he who loves father or mother more is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And in Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We need to please God over man. Another reason many do not find the narrow way is because we fail to tell others about it. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. We need to consider ourselves as the debtors, as Paul did, as a debtor. In Romans chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Paul said, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. We need to be like the early Christians in Acts chapter 8 at verse 4. Acts 8 at verse 4. Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word of God. And in 1 Thessalonians 1 at verse 8. For from the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not heed to say anything. We need to proclaim the word of God at every opportunity we have. We should not consider it a burden to do this, but a joy and a privilege. If more of us were diligent in proclaiming the word of God at every opportunity that we have, more would find the narrow way. Luke 14, verse 23 tells us that as servants of the Lord, we need to go out into the highways, into the byways, and compel them to come in, that God's house may be filled. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 tells us, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks us about the narrow way. And we need to maintain the attitude of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 at verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6 at verse 8. Isaiah says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. The last point I have tonight, why many do not find the narrow way, is because they are preoccupied with worldliness or materialism. In Luke chapter 8 verse 14, we see seeds like this from the parable of the sower. They are like the seed which fell among the thorns. In verse 14 of Luke 8, says, and the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Their problem is that they lack a true interest in saving their own soul. We know the value of a soul. Matthew chapter 16 at verse 26 tells us that. Many people don't understand the value of the soul, and not even their own. Matthew 16 at verse 26 says, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 18 that they do not fear God. He says there is no fear of God before their eyes. They think that God is so merciful, God is so loving, that somehow they will get by and God will save them after all. But Romans chapter 11 tells us the goodness and severity of God. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22 says, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. God will render vengeance on all those who do not know him and who do not know his will. Starting at verse 6, it says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. For one to find the narrow way, he must come to have a genuine interest in saving his own soul and escaping the wrath of God that we just read about. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us that if anyone hungers and thirsts after righteousness, they will be filled. And in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, in verse 10, you know we must come to love the truth. It says, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of truth that they might be saved. In John 7 and verse 17, those who truly want to do the will of God shall know the truth. John 7 and verse 17, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. In John 8, verse 31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Go ahead and turn your songbooks to the song of invitation that Brother Smith has chosen. We'll sing that in just a few seconds. Why do only a few find the way that leads to life? First of all, because the way is strict, the way is rigorous, and the way is difficult. Second of all, because many are prejudiced, many are blinded to the truth. Third, because many have been deceived by false teachers, but remember that's going to be no excuse for us. Many don't find the narrow way because they have given in to the pressures of family, friends, or religious leaders, or anyone else for that matter. Fifth, because we as Christians fail to tell them about the narrow way. And last, because many are so preoccupied with the affairs of this life, they have no genuine interest in the saving of their own souls or escaping the wrath of God. Remember back in our text in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives us two choices. There's two choices, there's not an option, there's not a third alternative. You can travel the easy road where nearly everyone is traveling. It is unrestricted. There is room for every opinion, every doctrine, every practice. You can do whatever comes naturally. You can be a lover of self. There is no need of learning the true religion or practicing it. But rest assured that this way leads to eternal damnation. Or you can travel the other road, where there are only a few. The way is strict and difficult, setting before us a great challenge that we need to be up for. Its boundaries are ordained by divine revelation, the way of truth. It requires sacrifice, self-denial, and obedience. But rest assured, this way leads to eternal life. Jesus is encouraging us in Matthew chapter 7. He says, enter ye in. Jesus wants us to enter in that narrow way. May God help us to travel in this narrow way which leads to life. If you have not been traveling that narrow way, if you've gone into the broad way, or you have yet to step on the narrow way, that's why we're here. Please come forward while we stand and sing and make your needs known.